In celebration of the high holy day season, the Jewish Theological Seminary of America and Kol Tzion LaGola, the broadcasting system of the World Zionist Organization in Israel, in cooperation with a national broadcasting company, present The Search of Shalom Ben Tzadok, a special program in the Eternal Light series written by Miss Sylvia Berger. The material and recordings used on this program were prepared in Israel by Miss Berger.
Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Ha'iri panayich levenayich, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Mecharevotayim.
Shalom ben Tzadok, a man in Israel, went in search of a book. It was an old book with goatskin covers and parchment leaves. And he loved this book, so that when he thought it had been taken from him, he sought it in the highways and byways of the land. But this he will want you to know as you listen to his story, that the search he started took him beyond the search of the highways and byways. And the book he sought was more than anything that could be held between two leather covers.
Shalom ben Tzadok prepared for the journey simply but carefully. He had his shoes resoled.
There is no telling how long I will be walking through the land before I find it.
He watered the corn patch in front of his tent.
If the corn ripens before I return, it is yours, Chaim, and your children's.
Thank you, Shalom ben Tzadok.
And he covered his head with his prayer shawl and said this to the Lord.
I'm setting out in search of the book of life. Guide my footsteps, O Lord, that I may not be lost. Preserve me from trouble. You are my shelter and my light. Amen.
And when the morning sun tipped the first tree in the orange grove to the right of his camp, he walked out the camp gate and turned his face in the direction in which he had been told lay Jerusalem.
Going, old man?
I'm going to find my cousin.
Where is your cousin?
He's in the Petah Tikva hospital.
Get in.
Thank you, brother.
Is it serious with your cousin?
Well, I feel that I shouldn't wait any longer.
Was it an automobile?
It was a boat.
A boat? Oh, picked up a germ, I suppose, because of the crowding. A germ, a bug?
A bug? Oh, no, no, I don't think it was the bug so much as the moisture. It made many of them peel.
You mean to say they let them lie out there on the open decks until they peeled?
Well, they didn't leave them out on the open deck. They packed them in crates.
They packed your cousin in a crate?
Who packed my cousin in a crate?
When they brought him out of the Yemen.
They didn't bring my cousin out of Yemen in a crate. They brought him in an airplane.
Well, then what made him peel from the moisture?
He didn't have any moisture.
Where is your cousin?
He's in Petah Tikva in the hospital.
What is he doing there?
He washes the floors there.
The hospital is to your right. I'm sorry I can't take you all the way, but I'm going in the other direction.
Shalom.
Shalom.
And peace be with you on your journey. A good man. It was the books that were peeling. The books they took from us when we left Yemen. They put them on a boat and they said they would give them back to us in Israel.
A man like Shalom ben Tzadok, you can see, can be really quite irritating. You're a businessman from Haifa, say, speeding to a conference in Tel Aviv, when you overtake a man like Shalom in his long striped gown and his neat black cap and his high, narrow chest and his stiff curls and his old feet slapping in the dust. And you ask him into your car. And what happens? Before you know it, your eyes are spinning in your head like two glass balls. Let him find his own hospitals from now on.
Give me back my son! Yakov! Come to the window, Yakov!
Yakov! Please, please, don't do that. This is a hospital.
Yakov!
Will somebody, you there, old man.
Yakov, come to the window!
Can you talk to this woman? Get her to go home, will you? There are sick people here. She's not helping anyone.
Where is this woman's son, Drin?
Yakov!
Get her to go home, old man.
You are from Zabid, daughter, from the province of Najran.
What?
I can hear it in your speech. I myself, not far from there, a day's journey by foot from Sana. Would you by chance have known a grain merchant in there called Gamliel?
He was a merchant.
That he was. And rich, too. 500 head of sheep, I'm told he had, and money and corn.
Money, sheep, corn.
And did he take the sheep and the money with him on the airplane when he came to Israel?
He didn't come to Israel.
Gamliel, the grain merchant?
He said we would never get here. He sealed his corn in 13 jars and buried them in the ground. Yakov! Yakov, your mother is here! Come to the window!
Old man, I can't stand this much more.
Yakov!
Gamliel, the merchant, buried the corn in the ground. Now he sits in his deserted village waiting for a harvest of 13 moldy jars while the fields dry up around him. Did you have other children?
He was my only one.
And how is it with the father who lost his only son? Or is it with him like with Gamliel, the merchant? Forgive an old man his wayward tongue, my daughter. The old ashamed to weep for the fields they can never sow again. Harangue the young with weak and barren words.
I forgive.
Well, then, let me be old a little more and grasp at comfort with the greed of old age, whose appetite for life waxes the faster life wanes. I need a place to sleep tonight. Can you or your husband help me find an empty corner in a tent?
There is an empty corner. In our tent.
Now this was the end of the first day of Shalom ben Sadok's journey in search of the Book of Life. Having set his plans carefully down to putting new leather on the shoes that were to carry him up to Jerusalem, the first day's end found him on a side road from Jerusalem, in a tent of the very same kind he had left just that morning. And the tent in which he sat was one of 3,000 in a gathering they called a transit camp. And this was a Yemenite transit camp, where the men and women had gone out at dawn to swoop upon the nearby towns and settlements as house workers, road menders, orange pickers, quarry workers. And here, now, they were back at the end of the day. And he could smell the bitter smoke of those who cooked their suppers outside their tents as they had in Yemen, and the fat, thick smell of those who had meat to cook, and the sweet bitterness of ancient herbs. And he heard the stirring of the children going to sleep. And it seemed to him that he could even hear the stirring of the stars in the sky as the mother of the dead Yaakov spoke about her son.
And I said, Yaakov, I'm going into town to work in the home of my mistress. You'll remember not to go out on the road, my son. And he said he wouldn't. He said he wouldn't.
And being a child, he went.
Being a little child.
It was the father of the dead Yaakov who spoke now. And somehow it seemed to Shalom ben Sadok that he could hear a heavy groaning, as if the dumb and silent earth itself, turning on its axle, had groaned with a human tongue.
I came from the orange grove, and they told me my wife was running from tent to tent looking for my son. I caught her and I tried to hold her, but she broke away and started running again among the tents.
Then they led me to the hospital, but they wouldn't let me into the room where he lay.
They wanted to prepare him first. They let me in, but I could hear her outside shouting through the window.
And how could it happen? When I heard my own mother say, and her mother told her, and with my own ears I heard them promise that no one ever dies in Israel.
And Shalom ben Sadok, listening to the mother of Yaakov speaking, suddenly thought he heard the beating of giant wings. And a chill walked through his hair, and he felt on the back of his neck the angel of death. And then it seemed to him that it wasn't the angel of death, but another angel. And he remembered a dream he had dreamed one night before he had come into the land, when he was still in Yemen, and had dreamed this dream.
Shalom ben Sadok.
Who called?
Shalom ben Sadok.
Here I am. Who called?
Shalom ben Sadok, cobbler of El Gagra. Prepare yourself. Redemption has come.
And with that, he had opened his eyes as if he had never been asleep at all. This Shalom ben Sadok remembered, and he remembered how he had not dared to relate it to anyone lest it be interpreted badly, when a rumor started in the village and Natan the glazier came to him with the whispered news.
The 12 tribes are returning into the land of Israel.
What's that you say?
They're gathering in the hills, and their banners are blowing, their trumpets are sounding, the banners of Issachar and Gad and Naphtali and Manasseh, and only our banners, the banners of the sons of Yehuda, aren't there. But our brothers are gathering with a mighty host, and they will descend upon Yemen, and they will free us. You may tell the news, but tell it quietly, because if they find out, they won't let us out of Yemen.
And he remembered how the rumor grew and went from village to village like the first faint rumblings of spring thunder, and how men and women and children were stopping each other in the street.
The kingdom of David is rebuilt.
The government has sent a messenger to the king of Yemen with a letter. The letter says, let the sons of Israel go up to Jerusalem, and the king has agreed.
And suddenly the earth split and lightning cut through the sky, and they were praying and crying in the synagogues. When Natan the glazier, drunk with joy, his coat in disorder, his eyes streaming tears.
Let us give thanks to the Almighty for this day. For the day has come. The day has come.
The day of our return.
Our return to the land of our fathers, of Abraham, our father.
Of Jacob and of David.
And what will it be like for us in the land of Israel? It will be good for us in the land of Israel. For there is a government of the land of Israel, and the government is a good government. And the government has called us to come home. For we are their brothers.
They will take us in as brothers. We are going to the land.
A land broad and good. Of figs and grapes and pomegranates. One pomegranate you will eat all day long from one pomegranate. One bunch of grapes the household will eat all week long from one bunch of grapes.
We are going to the land.
And we'll see the tomb of David. We'll see the temple of Solomon. We'll see the golden altar. We'll see the beams of Cedar. We'll see the golden cherubim.
We'll be the sons of kings.
We'll sit on a golden chair.
And we'll study and we'll pray.
And we'll pray and we'll study.
We're going to the land
where the righteous never die. No. Where the righteous never die.
And this Shalom ben Sadok remembered as he listened to the mother of the dead boy Yaakov. But now it seemed to him that his memory was not memory at all, but was the father of Yaakov talking.
And so we sold what we could, and what we couldn't sell we left. But none of us left our books. Those books and scrolls which we could not carry with us we buried in the cemetery. That we did on the final day when we started to Israel. On that day the whole village got up and went down to the cemetery. We said goodbye to those who could not come with us to Jerusalem.
Forgive us for going.
Forgive us for leaving you. Mother, father, forgive us.
But redemption has come, and we must go.
But you too will come.
Pray for us.
Shalom ben Sadok listened as they talked, and he heard their sorrow and their confusion, that here in the land of Israel, the youngest and most innocent should have died.
Being a little child.
That they had not found the pomegranates and the grapes, that they were not to be seen and not to be eaten. And then they had finished, and Shalom ben Sadok saw that they were waiting, and he realized that they were waiting for him to speak. He saw that they were waiting for him to give them an answer.
An answer to what? Shall I answer the death of your son?
How am I to answer who am myself no more than your son? Was it I who gave life to dust, that I should know the answer to death? Yours is the question of Job. And to Job God gave answer. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who determined the measures thereof, or who stretched the line upon it? Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days began? Doth the hawk soar by thy wisdom? Doth the vulture mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? Shall he that reproveth contend with the Almighty? He that argueth with God, let him answer it.
And the parents wept when Shalom ben Sadok spoke. But Shalom ben Sadok saw that the mother wept no longer with the wild rage of madness, but with the tears of love. And Shalom ben Sadok said,
You've come into the land looking for the pomegranates and the grapes. And were we here to plant the seed that the pomegranate should be waiting for us? Did we cultivate the vines that we should eat of the grapes? Are grapes and figs and pomegranates grown in barren ground? Shall we enjoy the fruit without husbanding the garden?
And Shalom ben Sadok finished speaking, and he thought,
They suffer, and they seek understanding.
And he bowed his head before them, as before the sons of kings. And Shalom ben Sadok was 2 days closer to the Book of Life. And early on the third day, Shalom ben Sadok thanked the father and mother of the dead boy Yaakov, and he started to retrace his footsteps when he saw that 3 old women were coming toward him, and he waited for them to reach him, and one of them spoke.
I have a granddaughter, and there is a good man who would marry her, but she will not have him. Every day she must go into the town to work at other women's homes and for other women's children. Isn't it better for her to marry the man who would have her and work for her own home and her own children?
But she won't listen to us, stiff-necked and rebellious, with her head bare of covering, shameless and brazen. And the freedom is to blame. The freedom in the land.
And what would you have me do for her, sister?
Oh, I am old and thrown in a corner without any help. Speak for me. Tell her to marry the man. Perhaps she will listen to you.
It was the third day of Shalom ben Sadok's journey in search of the Book of Life. And once more he was turned away from the road to Jerusalem. And this night he was taken to a tent where he could hear a young girl singing. And Shalom ben Sadok stopped a moment and listened to the words the young girl sang. Mother, father, do not forsake me. My hope is with my mother, but she does not help me. And Shalom ben Sadok, who had come with the women out of compassion for the old, now felt the sorrow of the young. And he came near to the stiff-necked young girl, and he said,
Why do you sing so sad a song, my daughter?
Is it sad? I didn't know the song was sad.
Tell her to marry the man. Why, he still wants to marry her.
Do you find it hard to work in another woman's home?
The lady is not unkind.
If she married, she would have her own home.
And do you sometimes think of Yemen and remember what the life was like?
No. Why should I? Life wasn't good in Yemen.
You would be married in Yemen by now.
I am not ready to marry.
Then when you are ready, no one will be ready for you anymore. The freedom is to blame. They run about with bare heads and talk about school.
And what is wrong with the freedom? Was the darkness of Yemen better? You old man, tell them. Tell them this is Israel. And Israel is different. And the people who come here must be different.
How must they be different?
The life in Yemen was small, and we had to be small to fit inside of that life. But Israel, Israel is big. In Yemen, there were only 2 streets, 3 streets, and they didn't even need a name. But Israel, in Israel, there are hundreds of streets, thousands of streets, and they all have names. Everything has a name. And the buses have numbers. And I want to study to know the numbers and to write. And I say it to everybody who wants to hear. Long live the President of Israel! I will not marry!
Shalom ben Sadok stood and listened. Then he saw that the face of the old woman was filled with fear for the young girl, and he turned to the old woman and he said,
In the time of Moses, was at the dividing of the land according to the tribes, there was a man, Zelophehad, who died and left 5 daughters, but no sons. And the daughters went before Moses. They stood before him and they said, "Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he had no son? Let us come into our inheritance." And Moses said, "You speak right." And the inheritance of the father was passed on to the daughters of Zelophehad.
And as Shalom ben Tzadok spoke, he saw that the face of the old woman had grown quiet with thought, and the face of the young girl had quieted with certainty. And 4 days and 4 nights had passed, and Shalom ben Tzadok was 4 days closer to the Book of Life. Once more he turned toward Jerusalem, but he had not gone far when he heard a noise of people, and he saw that there were men and women waiting in a line. He went up to ask what they were waiting for.
"I beg you, brother, can you tell me..."
"It's what... no use your pushing ahead, because the work they have is the same whether you come first or last. The groves and the quarry and the road. And that is the work there is if you come from Yemen."
"And if you don't come from Yemen?"
"Oh, then you can be a clerk and sit in an office. Then you can be the director of the camp or the doctor and tell people what to do and where to stand and how to sit."
"And have you studied to be a doctor?"
"Now, where will I study to be a doctor? All I know is what a donkey knows, to drag and to carry. Truly, they're right when they say we have no brains."
"Who is it says we have no brains?"
"Who? I don't know. Who? Everybody. Even my own wife says I have no brains because I have to labor in the fields while others can stay in the schoolroom and teach. And if he teaches in the schoolroom and I work in the field, am I not in the shape of man the same as he is?"
"Of what are you ashamed, then?"
"Why do you say I'm ashamed, old man?"
"Are you not ashamed?"
"Yes."
"Of what?"
"Because though I am a man, I think like an ox."
"Would an ox know that there is the thought of the ox and the thought of man?"
"Like an ox that finds the hay too meager in its stall, I must wait for the master to lead me into the pasture at the end of a rope."
"When Adam went out to toil in the world, God said to him, 'Thorns and thistles shall the earth bring forth to thee.' And Adam's eyes ran with tears, and he complained before God, sovereign of the universe, 'Am I and my donkey to feed in the same manger?' But God added, 'In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread.' And Adam was comforted."
"Why, old man?"
"Because by his labor, man raises himself above the animal. The ox labors and the donkey labors."
"Well, how am I different from the ox and the donkey?"
"Because you labor for your purpose. The ox labors for his master's purpose."
"And what is my purpose?"
"The purpose of man is to belong to himself, so that he can leave a portion for his children and their children after them. And this is why we came here, to possess this land as we were promised, so that it shall be a blessing in our generation."
Now Shalom ben Tzadok was 5 days and nights closer to the Book of Life. And it was the beginning of the 6th, and Shalom ben Tzadok thought about the corn he had left in front of his tent and wondered whether his neighbor would remember to care for it. And he turned back, for living seed must not be allowed to die. And it was the 7th day, and Shalom ben Tzadok rested. The first 3 stars appeared on the night of the 7th day. He took care of his plants, and he spoke to God.
"Tomorrow I set out in search of the Book of Life. Guide my footsteps, O Lord, that I may not be lost. Preserve me from trouble. You are my shelter and my light. Amen."
you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in introducing Rabbi Jacob Agus, rabbi of Congregation Beth El in Baltimore, and chairman of the Rabbinical Assembly's Committee for the Revitalization of the Sabbath, which launches its national effort for the rededication to the Sabbath during this high holy day season. Rabbi Agus.
On the seventh day, Tzadok found what he was looking for. All the bewildering incidents in his life fell into place like the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. The moment he sensed in his soul the sweet peace of the Sabbath. As the spirit of holiness descends upon the ancient brooding hills of the Holy Land, the pious Yemenite suddenly beholds the same troubling perplexities against the transformed background, and the book of life is opened up unto him with fresh and vibrant meaning shining out from every page. For on the Sabbath, Tzadok knows that it is not for man to ask, "What do I get out of life?" We are guests in the palace of the Almighty, laborers in his vineyard. It is not we, but God who asks, "What do I get out of your life?" And it is for us to spell out the answer through deeds of sacrifice and dedication. The Sabbath brings to us that most coveted of all goals, peace of mind. When we put God in the center of things instead of ourselves, our life is blessed with purpose. Our labors are crowned with a golden aura of enduring significance, and even the tragedy of death is assuaged by the knowledge that underneath are the everlasting arms. On Yom Kippur, the unity of the Jewish people is demonstrated by the tremor of dedication that pulsates in hearts and minds scattered over the face of the globe. The barriers of space and the scales of matter fall from our eyes as we behold the destiny of our people and the dignity of all men under the aspect of eternity. Must this vision be a fleeting one, like the flash of lightning in a dark and stormy night? Why not enshrine the Sabbath in our lives, that we too might experience throughout the year the beauty of holiness and the peace that surpasses understanding?
Thank you, Rabbi Agus. Our eternal light drama today, The Search of Shalom Ben Tzadok, was written by Sylvia Berger and presented in observance of the high holy day season. This script was the second of three special festival programs presented under the joint auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America and Kol Tzion Lagola, the broadcasting system of the World Zionist Organization in Israel. The original score by Morris Momorsky was conducted by Milton Katims. Roger DeKoven was heard as Shalom Ben Tzadok and Alexander Skorby as the narrator. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical music. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brand speaking. Free time to present the Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.